Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
If you have your Bibles or tablets or smartphones and you want to follow along, we are going to be looking at that passage that was read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. We've been looking at unleashing holy freedom, and this is the fourth part in our fourth Sunday of Lent, and we're going to continue on this series of holiness and how it unleashes freedom in our lives. There was this guy who decided that he was going to run a marathon, so he bought expensive shoes, he got the GPS watch, he got the boy swicking gear, and for the first 2 weeks he was a machine. But by week three, he kind of hit the wall. His knees hurt, the 5 a.m. alarm felt like the enemy, and there was this massive hill on his running route that just seemed to mock him every morning. Eventually, he just stopped at the bottom of the hill, looked up, sat at the curb, and watched the other runners go by and said to himself, "Maybe I'm not just a runner, right?" Maybe people are built differently. In our spiritual lives, many of us sit on that same curb. Maybe you've been there in your spiritual journey. You started your journey with Jesus, but you hit this hill, you hit this mountain, and maybe it's this habit you don't seem to be able to break, or this temper you don't seem to be able to control. Maybe it's a secret struggle that you and you've hit this mountain and you decided, well, maybe I'm not just the holy type. But today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4 to see that the mountain isn't there to stop you. It's there to show you that you're wearing a wrong identity and you're able to and how to ascend the mountain. Over the past few weeks, we have looked at the importance of holiness. God is holy. He calls us to be holy. He calls us to be holy in character, holy in heart, holy in spirit. Today I want to take a look at part of the process of holiness. When you first become a follower of Christ you say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, you died for me. Please forgive me. Take my sin away. I'm giving my life to you. I'm going to follow you." God did something. Because of your faith in his grace, and he received you into his family, he forgave you of your sins, and he started this work in your life. And the Bible says, if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. In the spirit of who you are, you have been made holy. Theologians call that initial sanctification. Sanctification means to be made holy. That's the initial sanctification. You've been cloaked in righteousness. God sees you as he sees his son. But as you know, when you gave your life to Christ, you didn't wake up the next day being perfect. There was a lot of room for growth. Some of you took a look at and you see people ahead of you in the spiritual journey and you're wondering, man, how am I going to get there? How am I ever going to deal with all the stuff that's gone on in my life, and it overwhelms you. But you've grown. You can look back and you see, yeah, I've grown. That's called progressive sanctification. You are progressively made holy. God is progressively making you more holy. And that's where most of us are. This place of progressive sanctification means you're progressing in holiness. That means that, well, you are more holy now than you were a year ago. I know the idea of rating our holiness is a little bit challenging to some of you, but we've looked at the last couple of weeks. Holiness matters to God. God is committed to making you holy. And I want the sermon to be practical. So the question is, where is God working on your holiness? What place in your life is God calling you towards sanctification? Some of you, maybe your temper. Others of it may be your self-control. Others it may be what you watch. Others it may be how you use your time. For others it may be how you treat others or how you speak. For others it may be your prayer life. For others it may be how you treat your body. And the list could go on and on. See, God is always at work around us, and he's always at work in us. And God is committed to making us holy. And so God is calling you in a particular area, maybe two, to make you holy. And most of you, yeah, I know where he's working at me right now. Where I know what he, I'm struggling. I haven't seen breakthrough yet, but I see where he's working on me. And you can identify the top one or two places. For some of you, it'll be a purity issue. For others, it'll be a surrender issue. If you were here last week, you may recognize a love issue, loving God or loving your neighbor. But if you are a Christian, there will be a place where God is calling you to cooperate with him in progress in your sanctification. So where is God at work in your life? Where is he calling you to be transformed? Most of you say, I get it. I kind of know where that is. Some of you say, I know it's here, but I haven't really been trusting God in that area like I should. If you cannot identify an area that God is working on you, then your spiritual life is in trouble. I would urge you to quickly do something about that, saying, Lord, what area are you working on me with? And if you don't hear something, go to a mature Christian, a trusted friend, and talk that through. Don't harden your heart. Because when you harden your heart, you're in significant spiritual danger. Take action now. But the vast majority of us, we have a pretty good idea where God is calling us to cooperate with him in our transformation. And I want you to see how this transformation works. If you've been in this process for a while, you'll know that, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes changing the patterns of our life is difficult. If you're holding your temper or controlling your tongue, or if purity was easy, then you would have dealt with it by now. But loving your enemy and living without worry or being consistent in prayer, if that were easy, you would have done it by now. I don't know about you, but there have been times when in my spiritual life where I felt like I'm walking along, and all of a sudden there's just this solid wall across my path, across the path of my spiritual journey. It's like I can get this far and no further. Feels like I've hit my head against this wall again and again. Or to use the other metaphor, it feels like I've been on this spiritual journey, moving along this winding path, and then I hit this mountain, and the path looks straight up, and you try to climb it, but you just don't seem to be able to persist in it, and you're tired, and you're out of breath, and you try to go around it, and you can't, and for some reason the path goes right over the mountain, and you look at the path, and you're just disheartened. Just the look at going there just exhausts you. You take a couple of runs at it, you fall back down. And you decide, maybe this Christian life, yeah, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, but maybe going forward in this path, that's for the Olympian Christians. That's for the super saints. You kind of see yourself as a backyard duffer. You know? You think, well, I'll never be in good enough shape to climb this mountain. So I think I'll just sit at the bottom of the mountain here, and I'll love Jesus, I'll wait right here for Jesus to take me home. And while I'm at the bottom of the mountain, maybe I'll do some side hustles. Yeah, I'll try to get a promotion at my job. I'll try that self-improvement thing. But just don't ask me about progressing in holiness, because that's just too hard. Can't go there. But of course, God does ask us to progress in holiness. He says, "Be holy, for I am holy." I've been at the bottom of that mountain a time or two. I've been a pastor long enough that I know that many of you have probably been there as well. And even as I sat in that place, I believe that I know Jesus has something for me. I believe that God has given me everything I need for life and for godliness. That includes how to climb the path. But it seems like I just couldn't do it. Not seem to get what God wanted to give. I couldn't hang on to what I believe was mine. Felt like a thirsty man who could see the water, just couldn't get to it. And I'd try to use the force of my will. I'll take the top of the mountain by force if I have to. And you get a little way up the path and you fall back down. Then I decide, well, maybe I'll learn some new mountain climbing techniques. Maybe if I could just figure out the key or the right way of going about it, or maybe if I had some new techniques. And it didn't work. So there I sat at the bottom of the mountain. Have you ever been there? Have you ever hit the wall in your spiritual life? For those of you who can't seem to get over the mountain, I want to give you this encouragement from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. You've lost all sensitivity. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned." This passage is describing the journey of humanity away from what they were created to be. It describes the journey of humanity away from holiness. And if we're going to go back to what we were created to be, then we're going to have to retrace our steps. And we live in a culture that's made it difficult to be truly Christian. Made it difficult, really, to be holy. And each particular generation has a piece of culture that wants to thwart our Christian growth. Our culture, the one that we live here in Perth, in Canada, it screams out false identities to our kids and to our teenagers. It whispers words of despair to our young adults. The primary inhibitor of spiritual growth in young families is, we're just busy, expected to keep up and everything with everything, and it's hard. The empty nesters and the retired people, our culture tells us that, well, life is all about you. You deserve it. You've worked this far. Now make life all about you. And that's a recipe for unhappiness. When you get a little older, our culture tells us that you don't have a purpose anymore. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul describes the culture in Ephesus that looks like ours. Ephesus was obsessed with religious tourism and sensuality. Paul explained that people walked away from God in a specific sequence. First thing, they were darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. They're darkened in their understanding. They lost the user manual of life. They became darkened into how life was really meant to be. And then they became ignorant by shutting God out. And they lost all touch with reality and with themselves. And then there comes a separation because of the hardness of the heart, because of their ignorance, they're separated from God. They become disconnected from the life of God, His joy, His peace, His power. And so what happens in there? You're made to reflect God, but you're separated from God, and you're darkened in your understanding. There's all these kind of false identities that creep in, and they say, oh, well, so here's what happens. They stop giving honor to God, and they harden their hearts. They say, I'll do it my way. I'll be who I want to be. And in hardening their hearts, well, they gave themselves over to sensuality. They disconnected from God, and they tried to fill the void with physical thrills, which always leads to a need to do more to get the same high. So they indulge in any kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they gave themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. And if you become disconnected from the life with God, well, it only seems reasonable to live a life of sensuality. The problem is that there's a reducing return. The thrill you had last week ends up into the weight around your feet this week. So to get over the mountain, we have to reverse the process. We have to step back and reverse this process that's happened to humanity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. That, however, is not the way you Christians have, is not the way of life that you've learned. When you heard about Christ, you were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The Ephesian church came out of a culture that was quite similar to ours. Paul knows that the culture's journeyed away from God and away from holiness, and he says, now, something's changed. You have come to know Christ, and you were taught the truth that is in Christ. I think the New Revised Standard Version translates 21 more precisely. He says, for surely you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as truth is in Jesus. That's a starting point back to what you're created to be, the truth that is in Jesus. Notice it doesn't say the truth that is found in the teachings of Jesus. It doesn't say, oh, the truth that, you know, A plus B. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm the embodiment of the truth of God. And so when you're sitting at the bottom of the mountain, and you know that God wants you to be holy, and it's tempted to latch on to, oh, well, if I could just do principle A plus principle B plus principle C, that would just accelerate my spiritual growth, and I would just float up the mountain. The reality is the you're only able to climb over the mountain if you know the right path to take. Jesus doesn't give you a map. He gives you His hand. He says, I'm going to take your hand, and I'm going to guide you personally. Jesus was not just a great moral teacher. His words are important and they are true. But your personal relationship with Him is what will move you forward. We are in him and he's in us, and out of that comes a new way of being. Verse 22, you were taught in regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God and through righteousness and holiness. That old self, it became ignorant about the way of life, and it hardened itself against God, and it lived out of that ignorance and became disconnected from the life of God and his peace and his power. But more than anything, it became disconnected from who God is and who he says you are. Your old self will lie to you about who you are. Over and over again, your old self will say, whatever the words of condemnation you received in this world growing up and further on, you're one to be overlooked. You should be ashamed of yourself. Yeah, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never really be a loving or kind person. You're such a hard person to get along. You're always the difficult one in the room. And this former way of life, and this old self takes on this identity. And we're tempted out of those to live out of those deceitful desires. I feel so bad on the inside. Did God really say that I shouldn't do this? If it feels good, it must be good. We're not called to get rid of the desires of our heart. We're called to get rid of the deceitful ones. But you've come to know Christ. And in knowing Christ, you do not harden your heart against God, but you open yourself up to a deep relationship with God. You've come to know Christ, and so you don't separate yourself from the life of God, but you pursue the life that is in God. You come to know Christ, and so you hear what Jesus has to say about who God is and about who you are. And that is where meaning in life takes hold. You don't have to give yourself over to sensuality. Instead, you understand where sensuality is in the order of things. You weren't meant to be ruled by your body. Your body was to be meant to be ruled by your heart. And your heart was meant to be ruled by the Spirit of God. Verse 23 says, we're made new in the attitudes of our minds. And this verse is about process. It doesn't say you're going to be zapped and then you're going to be good. There's a process that happens when you put off the old self and allow the attitude of your mind to be renewed. Oh, I'm not worthless. I'm a dearly beloved child of God. Oh, that stuff that brings me shame was taken care of with the cross of Christ. Oh, those things that I have labeled myself, or the labels that others have put upon me, start to dissolve when my attitude is made new because of Jesus. And it says, verse 24, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. At the core of who you are, you were wired for this righteousness and this holiness. And if you've been here for the last number of weeks, you'll know that this is a beautiful thing. Holiness just brings out the beauty of all that you were created to be, because you're reflecting who God is, because God's holy. That's who you are. Started talking off about this progressive sanctification and this journey of holiness, and sometimes it feels like we hit the wall. Sometimes the mountain is just too steep. Here's what I found when I've been sitting at the bottom of the mountain. trying harder doesn't work. I don't have the strength to climb the path. But often when I look, I start to discover that I'm carrying a backpack that is really heavy. See, my old self was never made to climb the mountain. And nor is the time at the bottom of the mountain wasted. When you're at the bottom of the mountain and you're still, God has a way of speaking into the attitude of your mind. And where he says, listen, let me teach you about me and let me teach you about you. Your eye is on the mountain, and I want you to see who I am. And I want to see who I have created you to be. And he starts to slowly change this identity piece within us so that we not only know that we know that God loves us, but that he's wired us for something that is good. And instead of saying, oh, I can't really, you know, I'm not made to climb the mountain. And he says, oh, yeah. Once you own what I've given you and who I say you are and put your hand in mine, when you listen and hear what I have to say into your identity and then you own that and put your hand in mine, we're going to climb over that mountain together. Right now, your eye's on the mountain. Can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Would you place your eyes on me? And would you listen to what I have to say about you? Here's what I've noticed. People who get good at climbing mountains, they have soft hearts. Instead of hardening their hearts and saying, I'll do it my way, they start to sense and say, God, yeah, I'll do it your way. I believe that you are who you said you are, and that I am who you say I am. And you sit at the bottom of the mountain and you see the obstacle in front of you, but my advice is don't focus on the mountain. You'll start to pray and you'll start, if you start to hear these messages, oh, you need to do more, you need to give more, you need to love more, you need to pray more, you need to sin less, you need to, I should. Jesus says, it's all about me. Connect with me. Hear what I have to say. And do that. Not about all the big mountain and the big path. Don't focus on the mountain. Let your heart become softened towards who God is and what he desires in your life. Spend some time asking Jesus, how do you see me? You'll know it's the voice of Jesus when, if it's loving and grace-filled and affirming. You'll know it's the voice of the enemy where it's condemnation and performance-based and all that. There's a story about an eagle that was raised in a chicken coop. For years, the eagle scratched the dirt and pecked at the seeds and never flew more than a few inches off the ground. He looked outside the chicken coop at the high mountain peaks and thought, well, those aren't for me. I'm a ground dweller. One day, a golden eagle soared overhead and let out this piercing cry, and something stirred inside this chicken eagle, and it realized that the reason it couldn't live like a chicken anymore wasn't that it was a bad chicken, but because it was never a chicken at all. It was an eagle. It had wings and lungs and the heart for heights. Some of you have been pecking around the dirt at the bottom of the mountain, frustrated you can't be better. But God isn't asking you to be a better version of your old self. He's calling you to be a new self, with your identity firmly rooted in Jesus, created for true righteousness and holiness. Stop looking at the mountain and look at the guide. Take off false identity and speak. Let God speak into who you are. Be renewed in the attitude of your mind. If you do this and put your hand in God's, you'll find the mountain is not big. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, this week that each one here would ask you in a few quiet moments that they have, Lord, how do you see me? And Lord, that you would clearly speak their identity to them. Lord, I pray that you would speak loud and clear. Pray especially for people who have been stuck at the bottom of the mountain for years. Yeah, Lord, I'm asking that you would move them forward because they learn who they are in you. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.